sitting in for Michael Dukes on my last day serving as guest host on the Michael Dukes Show. Big band era. I got that one. I just give it to me with big band era. I don't Tommy Dorsey maybe, but I'm just gonna go with that one. Eric and I have been playing bumper music trivia this week. On the line with us for this segment, we have Representative Lance Pruitt. Representative Pruitt, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. When I drove in earlier this morning, it was really, really, really foggy out and really, really cold. Have you been out yet or looked out the window and give us an update on how things are in East Anchorage this morning?
Yeah, I looked out the window. It doesn't look like it's especially as foggy as I could see last night, but yeah, I can't say much more. It's pretty dark out there.
Well, you know, that is a criteria. You have to actually have light. I guess I was noticing the fog as I was driving along the streets. I'm not sure I noticed it so much looking out the window in the morning. Thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. I want to cover two things in the time we've got. One is your position in the House minority. As we go into this session, it's a new position created this year, House Minority Finance Leader. I want to explore that a little bit. And then I want to talk about what the House Minority Finance priorities are for this coming year, sort of explore the positions you're going to be pursuing. But let's start with your position. Tell us what's envisioned by House Finance or House Minority Finance Leader and the role you're going to be playing in this upcoming session.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, you know, as we were, you know, kind of talking about forming this, one of the great things that the minority leader and myself, we had a discussion, and part of it's still being shaped. But the key discussion here is in any kind of a committee. If you look at Congress is probably the most visible, but other states do this as well. They'll have sometimes ranking members, or they'll have a member from the other side who tends to be kind of the leader for the opposition or for the minority. In some cases, if you look at a parliamentary system, they'll have maybe a shadow minister. Yeah, we felt it was important to make sure that we had a leader for the minority there on the Finance Committee, especially in times like right now, where we have recognized, and I think the state has recognized, that the budget is the key priority. So one of the things that I think is probably one of the most important things that I'll be doing is trying to ensure that the other members of the minority are well-versed in either the discussions that are coming down or what we are talking about or what we are what we feel the focus from the majority might be, so that they are well versed to be able to, one, either be able to go out and talk about it to their constituents, or two, to be able to give us to come back to us and say, we really think this is something you should push back, or you should have a larger say in. So the communication to the rest of the caucus is going to be a very, very important piece of the position that I've taken.
So it's as much, if not more, an internal role inside the caucus as it is an external role, being the focal point for the minority's comments on the majority. Is that?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very much so. I mean, as much as it is also that the one of the things that the intent is that when a finance and a discussion related to the budget comes up, that I should be the one that they go, that the external, that whether it's the media, someone like yourself will come to talk about it. You know, everyone, there's a lot of times people focus on the visible outside of the organization, but making sure that you have internally the structure, or internally you have the communication going on, that's probably one of the most important roles that any organization has, and so that's a key piece of this. So
I see. So it, when in the majority, that's usually a role played by the role you're describing is a role played by the co-chairs of the Finance Committee.
Yeah.
This is really sort of giving a similar structure over on the minority side.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Exactly.
That's a good description, and I appreciate that very much. All right. So let's talk about the House minorities. priorities this coming session, and a couple of things. One, there isn't that much difference between, in terms of numbers, between the majority and the minority. The majority is 22, the minority is 18. There are some Republicans over on the majority side who previously have voted with the 18 of you. I can see some situations where there's going to be some fairly close calls and a lot of tug of war about, you know, pulling members one side or the other. So let's talk about the minority's priorities and what you see, the issues, and let's just take the top three, the issues you see the minority pursuing on fiscal policy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, as people were asking me, you know, what is my priority as I was running for office again, it came down to, and I know it's kind of cliche, but what are the top priorities? It's cutting the budget. You know, if you give legislators too many things to do, they will fail at all of them. So you really have to try to focus on one, and hopefully they might be able to do that one.
I may quote you on that at some point down the road. That's a good statement. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, so it's really, you know, focus on cutting the budget. That's the, and what does that mean? We've already heard, and this is a little concerning, we've already heard in whether it's the paper or different avenues where some of the new majority, the leadership within the new majority has indicated areas that we can't touch or that we won't be able to have a discussion about. And, you know, right now, there can't be any sacred cows. There can't be things that we aren't willing to have a discussion about. Now, just because we have a discussion about how we deliver education or how we deliver healthcare doesn't mean that you don't like children or you don't like teachers or that you don't like people that may struggle to pay for healthcare. We have to have these discussions about doing things different because we're failing at delivering them. And so a great example, and I'll use the Anchorage School District. One of the things that we have done, but we've done it despite the fact that the formula discourages it. The formula actually discourages having larger schools. It penalizes larger schools. So that doesn't make any sense. If you feel that you can get the efficiencies of having more students under one roof, why wouldn't you encourage that? And in Anchorage, we have done that in some cases. Well, obviously, there's a breakdown there. How do you ensure that you are trying to be more efficient, more effective, or are we just encouraging bad behavior? All of those things should be analyzed. And that's right now, with people saying we're not going to talk about these things, we're allowing the bad behavior to continue.
Well, so that's a great point on K through 12. Do you visualize similar focus on the university, on health and social services, on the other agencies as well, or are there going to be sort of priorities in terms of what the focus is in terms of budget cutting on education and sort of not as much on other things?
Well, I know that. And I used it, of course, education is one thing. I know we've heard or I've read that the leadership over the majority has indicated that they really want to leave education and healthcare harmless. Well, when education and healthcare amount to the vast majority of your budget and the formulas are the large portion of your budget, if you've decided you're not going to talk about those, then you've basically said you're going to go with status quo or you're going to go towards the other departments. Like, for instance, I had DNR last year, and I remember one of my colleagues from the minority at the time had said, well, I'm really concerned of what we're doing to the department. And my response back was, I am too, but as long as no one's willing to have discussions about the formulas, about some of the larger areas, we're going to keep coming back to the same place, and eventually we're going to harm our ability to for resource development. Well, that potentially could happen again. So while the focus from our side, this is my belief, that our side needs to be everything's on the table, I've already read that there are several areas that have been indicated, and healthcare and education are two of the key ones, that are not ones that really want to be discussed. So you're leaving very little on the table. Therefore, that's a signal that says their intent is to be very limited in terms of actual reductions of the budget. And that's where we come in, is trying to remind people that if we're going to go forward, if you're going to try to ensure that we're not coming to the people and asking for a larger share of involvement in government than they really should be playing, then you're going to have to do something different with the budget.
As I appreciate your focus on it's cutting the budget, cutting the budget, cutting the budget, but Representative Seaton, who will be co-chair of your former colleague on the majority, Representative Seaton, who will be co-chair of House Finance, had a bill in last year and certainly has talked about two other things. One is taxes, an income tax being part of that, and cutting the PFD. His bill last year would have cut the PFD in half, and certainly with we can anticipate seeing that again. So those are things the minority is going to have to confront. Have you formulated positions on how you're going to respond to that? I know you were one of the key critical, hugely critical members last session who voted against the PFD cut that came over from the Senate. I certainly appreciate that. I know Michael does as well. But as a minority, have you talked about how you're going to respond to proposals coming for the majority on taxes and on PFD cuts?
We have had discussions. I can't say that there's, you know, 18, that the 18 members have solidified about around one specific point. There is a diversity of thought processes on that. What I will say is going to be kind of interesting is several of the members who have jumped to the other side were also the ones that had indicated at one point in time that they did not want to use the earnings to even, because we were going to try to forward fund the earnings at one point in time, and they didn't want to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use, how they go forward in this particular situation if there is not the desire to continue to cut the budget or to get things under control. And as well as, are they going to be willing to have a discussion and ask for our input, our larger input, to not use or to be able to use the CBR, or they're going to immediately go to using the earnings reserve? I mean, there was a letter that created the muskox, the caucus, that was, don't use any of the earnings reserve. Well, they're going to be in the catbird seat now, and are they going to maintain that, or why has it changed now? Is it because they now have the power? I don't know. That's for them to answer.
Yeah, well, there was an interesting part of that letter that I think we'll see show back up on my blog, certainly, and elsewhere, that said you can't, don't use the earnings reserve, or don't start pulling from the earnings reserve without a vote of the people, without, don't make big changes to the permanent fund without a vote of the people. And that was signed by people who are now co-chair of House Finance and rules chair. So
yep,
you're exactly right. That is going to be, it is going to be an interesting issue. Representative Pruitt, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment, but I know that Michael will want to continue to talk to you in your role as the legislature takes hold, the session starts rolling out, and very much appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, appreciate the request, and have a great final day as host.
Thank you. Representative Lance Pruitt, the new House Minority Finance Leader, joining us. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we will have Dr. Jack Hickel, Wally's son, Governor Hickel.